By instruction from my bosses next to me here, we have to correct today because we are dealing with this bill's form. People from the state law address. I want to understand, you see, one of the difficulties Parliament has had in the past was to vote in a bill in the committee, and then what appears in the House is a different story. So this is why we are discouraged from voting on a non-ready bill. But when we vote, we must do so on what is, aside from any changes that we might introduce during that stage, what is nearly a complete bill. So tell us, how do you advise us to navigate that?
Chairperson, usually we take down the amendments that the committee agrees to, and we prepare the A-list. Which we then send to both the department and the committee secretary. I think the committee secretary then sends it on to the printers, who then prepares the B-bill. Our office doesn't do anything with the printing.
Thank you, sir. At this stage of the proceedings, sir, we cannot be speaking of a B bill. The B bill will only come after voting has taken place on the amendment, which will then be sent to CREDA. Both, yes, the printers, both the electronic version and the hard copy of the amendments the committee is going to vote on. In addition, we will send the bill as introduced. But when it comes back from the printers as proof, it will be a B bill. Meaning that the amendments that the committee will vote on have been effected on the bill as introduced. Then it comes back as a B bill, as amended by the committee.
When will we see that decision? Will we be able to see it before the 20th?
Yes. If, for instance, we are able to send all those documents today, tomorrow morning they will send back the proof. We will then check the B bill against we'll check the A list to see if we'll check the B bill that will be coming from them to see if all the amendments have been effected.
Okay.
If there are mistakes, we will correct those and then send it back to them. And then they will correct them and send it back to us until we say, no, it's fine, everything is okay.
Yes,
I'm part of those efforts, yes.
So we are asked to give you the blank check.
Yes, Chair. Yes, Chair.
No, I just wanted you to say transparently, so that
yes,
when we find something different, the members must also confess it. How could you have allowed this?
Normally, Chair, B before the once the troops come back, say tomorrow morning,
yeah.
If you are around or the committee is sitting, then we can sit together.
Yeah.
You know, look through the document to see if the B bill then reflects accurately.
Yes.
You know, like what the committee had voted on the previous day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Members, let's. I suggest that we start with this understanding of the process. We had to hit someone like the state law advisor in this case, so that we get clarity. So now that we have clarity, they pointed us in the right direction. We now know more or less what the process is. I guess the committee must agree on a process by which we verify, without suggesting that we don't trust the committee section, but it is the committee that finally reports to Parliament, not the committee section. It's us who report to Parliament. So we must satisfy, find a way of satisfying ourselves, or you can delegate to me at your own risk. that I'll act on your behalf and so on this matter with the committee secretary, and then we can sign off as appropriate and so on. So the next week, on the 20th, I think it is, when it's debated. Now, now Sondo is not here, but what I have suggested to the committee section is that instead of the proposed, the programming committee was proposing to give us 45 minutes each for the bills. I suggested no, they must just give us an hour for both. That in the way in which we've been handling the bill in committee, we will deal with it during the debate in the same manner. So every member who debates will talk on the first one and the second one. So we don't have to go up and down the podium. I know the DA wants the publicity, but this time you'll only have one opportunity.
more minutes,
yeah. So I hope that is correct. I hope members agree with my proposal that we be given an hour only, and then we can deal with both bills on the 20th. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's thanks for endorsing that, yeah. They asked me this morning, so I told them that. You can tell them that I have the authority of the committee behind my weight, even if it's afterwards. Okay, yeah. Let us go through the bill. Welcome, Dade Modisenyana. You are very welcome, and especially because you have some whiff of royalty in your blood system. So they chose the correct member to join us. Yeah, okay. We will proceed, and the other members will find us along the way. Now, we've been starting with the National House of Traditional Leaders. So I suggest that we start with that one and go through the process. Have members got the document necessary? The document. Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, let's go through the... Clause 1. No, wait. I'm making a mistake here. I was instructed to read the motion of desirability. Is that true? Correct, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me do that. Carry out instructions. Motion of desirability. National House of Traditional Leaders Bill. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to provide for the establishment of the National House of Traditional Leaders to determine the powers, functions, duties, and responsibilities of the House, to provide for support to the House by government, to provide for the relationship between the House and the provincial houses, to provide for the accountability of the House, and to provide for matters connected therewith, and that the bill referred to the committee be taken as a basis. That's the motion of desirability. Is that in order, members?
Chair, okay,
of the members. I don't know. Yeah, it is in order, but what is written there sounds a bit off, as if we're establishing for the first time. The thought does not sound to me, but otherwise, fine. If it's the transformation of national house, something like that, I don't know. It is because to somebody, as if it's for the first time, yet it is not. I don't know whether I heard correctly.
Well, it says legislation is desirable to provide for the establishment of the National House of Traditional Leaders. And you are saying you are questioning the accuracy of it, essentially.
The word establishment.
Yes.
If you said re-establish, what have you had to call that?
To summarize what we have actually done, what is it?
Okay, I don't know if from the amendment that we have done, there's a preamble that captures the whole history.
Which
indicates that the House was established the first time in terms of the 1994 legislation.
Yes.
So it captures that.
No, that's correct. What we want is a word that summarizes that, what we have done. In other words, you see, I think Nkosi Nongoyana is correct to say that in this line, until you go to the document itself, you don't get the impression this thing existed in the first place. Okay?
Contained in there is exactly a rephrasing of the long title.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that's required, committed to the sister. But if you would say the re-establishment of the National House, I have no problem. Shouldn't be any problem with that at all.
The re-establishment?
Yes.
Okay.
The re-establishment.
I would propose continued existence of the House, because
legislation is desirable to provide for the continued
existence of the National House of Traditional Leaders. Because re-establishment would mean at some stage you are going to disestablish. Mm-hmm. And then re-establish.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Or that the effect of what we are doing is a re-establishment.
Yeah. Is it a re-establishment or reconstitution?
No. What we have done is we have reviewed the legislation establishing this house. Now, what we want to articulate here is something to that effect. Okay. To provide for the renewal of the National House of Traditional Leaders to determine the powers and functions. Is that okay?
Let me take that amendment.
All right. The renewal. Do you know simology? Is that what he was saying here? He's not here now. No, that's okay. I think, okay. I thought this is what we are doing effectively in the bill. All right, thank you. With that you amend that thing that we did. So the committee accepts the motion of desirability. Now we can start with the National House of Traditional Leaders Bill. Clause 1. Chair, before clause 1,
yes.
I think the preamble that we said it should be inserted.
Yeah.
We didn't see the text, but in principle they captured it.
What do you mean you didn't see the text?
I didn't see the text.
Oh, you didn't see the text
before.
Oh, okay.
Before.
Now this is what I have in front of me.
You mean the copies that...
No. There is a text before you now.
I do have.
You do have it now?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, when we actually decided that they should actually capture...
Okay.
No, let's do this first. There are a couple of things that I also want to say.
Yeah. Let me say that thank the department for giving us what we requested. Firstly, it's the preamble.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's the consultation process is outlined in the document that we have now, identifying the list of consultative meetings, dates and places and so on. We appreciate that. This is very useful. That kind of stuff is what we need. And thirdly, the other one was the reasons for the urgency of the bill and so on. That is also very useful.
it helps. So it will close the gap for people asking questions. They'll have answers, and they'll make judgment as to whether those answers are adequate or not. But at least the answer is there. They won't have to speculate on the reasons why we want this. I wanted to express thanks for that. Now, Honorable Nongkonya, here is the preamble. Comment on it. Read it and then comment on it. I'll
now,
give you a minute.
Now,
do that.
The preamble is fine.
Yes.
It's only the paragraph 2, which refers to a local government role. I think they took it word for word. They indicated to us from the, what do you call it, the Framework Act.
Okay.
I don't think that this paragraph, which has referred to the role of Treasury as an institution in local government, matters affecting local municipality, is appropriate when we're dealing with the National House. I thought that if we remove it and leave it where it's supposed to be, it will be fine. Otherwise,
leave it where? Leave it where?
No, remove it.
Remove the whole paragraph?
Yes,
okay.
And then leave it where it is, because it's dealing with the National Framework Act. Because we're dealing here now with the House,
yes,
National
yes.
House.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So we delete that second paragraph.
That's
or that prayer
otherwise, that's fine.
Otherwise, it's fine. Okay, that's good. Thanks.
Okay.
Yes, yes, Dominic.
Just on the procedure, we've started now, but just on the procedure, two things.
Yeah.
One is also, I think, as you've just said, we must thank the department.
Yeah.
Because our process this morning is very clean. We have the bill, and we have their proposed amendments, and that's all that we're working on. The previous amendments are encapsulated here.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful that that's a very clean and clear process how we're working on. Thank you for that. Then secondly, just yesterday it was said that the commission might be coming with something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes,
no,
yes.
There's no report now. I just need to hear what's going on.
That's one of the things I thought I should speak about. We have the committee in election said they have to be taken to comment. It's unfortunate because we thought that those contributions were made. We haven't seen that. Do you know anything?
All I can say, Chairperson, honorable members, that the instructions that you gave us were conveyed to them yesterday. And we also, through an SMS message, and we also phoned them to find out whether they understood what was contained there, and also explain that telephonically, and they said they understood. Even the time, we gave them the deadline, they lit by 9:30, we should have those, and they promised. I am told by one of my colleagues that they indeed phoned this morning to verify the times, and they were informed that we stick to that. But up to now, we haven't said anything.
What I should also say is that this bill is obviously a Section 76 bill. So it's going to go to the NCOP, who will take it to the provinces. So we will let them know that they'll get a bite there. They have unfortunately make us miss an opportunity to review their views around those clauses, as indicated to us yesterday. And this is unfortunate. Because, you see, I did speak myself to Ndati Mulelek yesterday about the timing and so on. So it's a pity that we've got to go through this process with that in mind. But that's fine. We gave them an opportunity. They've missed that deadline. We have to go ahead. I'm aware that there is... the committee secretary also received some word from someone in Rustenburg, from some farmers association there, who suggested that they would like to get an opportunity to know how this bill affects them, some of them living in areas under traditional leadership and so on, especially in the Bafokeng area. So, but the timing beat there.
but they'll have an opportunity. I'm going to suggest that the committee secretary write to them, tell them that to be alert to the provincial consultation that are coming through the NCOP, that we will also convey their request to the NCOP chairperson for his noting and follow up with them. Is that okay? All right. Okay, let's proceed. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, my apologies. I'm a bit concerned about the word review of the House, because the legislation doesn't actually review it. The process before the legislation reviewed the House, and what this legislation is actually doing, it's meant to provide to the continued existence of the structure that's already in place. So,
preference for continued existence rather than review.
Yes, Chairperson.
What are the indications of using review?
A reviewal would mean that the legislation should be providing for a reviewal of the House.
No. It can't mean that. No, it can't mean that. Yes. No, I hear you now.
Yeah.
To provide for reviewer suggested in here is a provision for the reviewer to take place.
Yes.
That's the implication,
yes,
eh? Now I hear your lawyer's head and how it's spinning. Do you see that? But effectively, what has happened is a reviewer. Okay? But now this is what has happened. So, that's a problem. Yeah, I think. Continued existence. Yes. Yes, ma'am. You want to go at it differently, yes?
No, thank you, sir. What I was just going to say is that everything that was existing in that act, it was repealed.
Yes.
It is repealed by this act.
Yes.
So now, if we want that structure to be in existence in accordance with this act.
Yeah.
So what we can do is to provide for a continuation of existence of that structure in accordance with this act now.
Okay.
So in English, we sort of repeal and re-enact.
Okay. Any other comment from yourself, department? How does that sit in with you in your head? In your non-legal head.
Cousin, what I would say is the wording is for the committee. As long as they understand that what drove us was, here's a bill, here's an act that was crafted a long time ago, 1994, according to 1993 Constitution. Here was a policy document that was outlining the vision of the ruling party as to how this, and we're trying to merit to align so that things which are in this new bill must be things that are mentioned in the vision and the policy document as crafted by the ruling party.
You must say must be as crafted, the white paper as crafted by Parliament. And leave out the ruling party's government. Otherwise, you anger
government. A lot of people. Sorry about that. But
Fortunately, he knows the roots of the policy in the ruling party's perspectives here.
No, Mr. Sam, if you could capture that, coin it,
We want to satisfy the lawyers. It's important. This is law, and so they are the ones who are going to debate. We used to throw them out of the negotiations to provide for speed of negotiations. And when we finish, then we call them in. That's how we manage the negotiations successfully. Yeah, yes, go ahead.
Just a small one.
Yeah.
For me, the understanding is there will be no time when there will be no house in place.
Yes.
The new legislation will kick in. The house will still be there.
Yes.
There are transitional provisions.
Yes.
To say that the house will still be there.
Yes.
Now, for me, re-establishment would mean at some stage you disestablish the house.
Yes.
And then you re-establish it, which is not what the legislation
I agree
is.
With you in agreeing with her that we should continue the existence.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We'll live with that, Gosia. Is that okay? Continued existence of the house. That seems to express more or less what we are all suggesting. Thank you very much. This is clause one. No, not clause one. It's preamble, yeah. Okay. And then we go on to clause. Yeah, okay. Sorry, yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Chief. This is on the preamble on page 2, the second last paragraph. What is it? The second last paragraph. And whereas in 2003, the government adopted the white paper on traditional leadership and governance, which provides for another level of houses of traditional leadership at the district municipal level, should be adopted. So it's technical, but it should be amended to read. Adopted.
Okay.
And the last word should be municipality should be municipal
level.
And that's all. Thank you.
Okay. Agree?
Can we maybe not ask somebody to formulate a new preamble that hasn't got take out, put in, take out a clear one? Because now we are to remove this, put in this, remove
what,
this.
What do you have there?
Now, can
what
we only do one finite clean thing, please stay with you?
No, we have it. What are you looking at?
I must come back on that. But do we not refer these days to local government sphere, not levels?
In the local government
sphere
is a level. District, local, and
metro.
The municipal sphere has two tiers or levels.
Three.
Yeah.
As amended, agreed to.
This is the continuity.
Same as amended, agreed to shift. That's the final. The election procedure must be conducted by a person designated by the premier of the province concerned. Okay. Are we excluding a possibility of a premier presiding himself or herself? Because I was thinking that
election proceedings must be conducted by the premier or a person designated.
Exactly. Exactly. That's all.
Let's effect that amendment.
Thank you very much. As amended, that amendment I propose. We accept.
Okay. Then. Good.
Sorry, Chair. You wanted. Is that the leader of the house?
I know there was a concept of
leader of the house. It's also a chairperson who is regarded as the leader of the house. What are we saying here?
Chair, what has been happening is that from the provinces, the three members who go and serve in the National House, one of them has been unofficially or informally designated as the leader of the delegation of the three. So the clause here envisages a situation where now this becomes a legal thing. It's a formal thing to be done by a province.
Then, don't you agree with me that unless it's defined in the definition section, it can be adapted differently?
Leader of the elected members.
Or you put it like the chairman.
Either
we provide it in the definition, such as that by leader of the house, what do we mean in this deal?
No, by leader of
Of elected members.
The leader of elected members.
Remember, Chair,
the members that are elected by the premier are all 20 in the This provincial house must designate one of the members elected in terms of 2, 3, 4 as the leader of the elected members. Of those elected members.
No. Perhaps if that is it, but subsection 2, Chair, says the premier, members of that provincial house in a meeting called for that purpose. In other words, it is all those members that are there.
Members of the provincial house that are to serve in the house must be elected.
Okay.
Within 21 days after having received the blah, 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 blah. Now, those are from a provincial house.
As amended, Chair, agreed to.
A.
As amended, Chair, agreed to. As amended, Chair, agreed to. We rejected the old clause 2 and reformulated it. As I reformulated, Chair, agreed to.
Okay. The new clause 10 is accepted. Clause 11, agreed to.
on page 9, sorry.
Yeah, on page 9, yes. On page 9, the PC and the PC. I know, I'm
better in the department, because they did actually present the same formulation.
Yes.
Which we agreed.
In the other.
Which we agreed. CC. CC.
Well, CC is part of the those three A, A, B, B, yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to, which one are you?
No, I'm CC. Yeah. Only CC. The others are fine. On CC, this thing of, the question of this succession, I don't know whether it's inheritance succession or succession to the throne or both, you know. And in view of the fact that the whole question of intertest succession, customary law, I know it's subject of a debate that is going on. I just wonder, perhaps, are we not overstepping some mark when we're providing for some succession? I know the question of progressive gender representation, I don't have no problem. But I was not so covered about that word, succession. That's the only word, succession, but the rest is fine. That is why...
Running away from succession, so that it must be clarified whether it is in line with what happened in the Limpopo.
In Limpopo, yes. No, the problem, comrade, is that question of succession. In terms of the white paper on traditional leadership, is this succession in terms of tradition and culture of that community? But at the same time, that community is given a right to progressively change their rules of succession. Okay? Mm. But the question of the succession means also inheritance, and which is subject of the deal that is going on and subject of the debate that is being debated as we speak. So to legislate, therefore, indirectly, that's why I was saying, are we not in a way overstepping the mark? Then I think hence the chairperson with us say, well, it won't make any difference what we want to achieve, because what we want to achieve, what is we should to progressively then deal with this question of gender representation, which there's no problem. Hence we have no problem with the reformulation by the chair.
Let me put it this way, now that I have looked at
I thought, Chairperson, you were with us. Now that you are not with us.
Now that with us.
No, yes. I think in all fairness, let us interpret that judgment of the Constitutional Court.
Yes.
Constitutional Court judgment is, in terms of the white paper, and
in terms of their own finding of fact, is that the royal, the inner circle that we talk about, took a resolution that in that community, it doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female, you can succeed. That is it. They did not actually pronounce on the question of succession, that as a matter of must, then succession must go that particular route. They left it open, democratic, so that at least this customary practice is actually progressively advanced in terms of whatever wish we want to as traditional communities. Now that we said then, representing in succession must be that, it will create problems, in my view. But it doesn't matter, you can insert it, but it is going to create problems unnecessarily. It was on that basis I said, well, the question of succession to me doesn't sound. So be it.
So, okay, just a small one. The same sort of principle is already in the in the Framework Act in section 2. So these are the principles that all the structures must adhere to. So here in the bill, it was basically copy and paste something that is already there. So if we change it here, I think we'll also have to change it in the Framework Act as it is right now. It's in section 2, sub 3, C. So it's already there.
Chairperson, but by implication, doesn't it mean if it happens that the royal family decide that a female can succeed, is that not by implication amending the succession law? So for that reason, I think the word, by using the word succession, I think it's fine. Because if they decide, it's not a once-off thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if they decide, the royal family, that as from now on, females qualify to succeed in that position, it means by implication that the succession law has been amended
by that particular
community.
Yeah.
Here's my the authority way to progress. And that's the key. In other words, if for whatever reason we must accommodate the reality that this inner circle is not yet comfortable. The law does not impose it. But it says, in general terms, we must progressively work towards that representation. Absolutely. So we leave it there. Thank you,
Royal
Blood. Let's leave it there.
Now, Chief, just clause 11, before we go on, the department didn't made a change there, but didn't we agree that we change secretary to speaker in the second portion on that page? On the way around. So, no, in the bill, it states, the House must consider parliamentary bills referred to it by the Secretary to Parliament.
Where
are you? On the original bill.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that we said this must be changed to the Speaker, because it's actually the Speaker that refers it. It's only the Secretary that's writing the letter. This is clause 11, 2, page 7.
So you are saying that we had agreed about the amendment and you recognize
in here, the department didn't change it. Well, that is how I understood it. You do it in the name of the what's the problem that let's hear? What is it? That's clause 11, 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
the House must consider parliamentary bills referred to it by the Speaker to Parliament.
Not the Secretary to Parliament.
I don't say we didn't consider that, but did we not say once the bill are actually adopted by Parliament, is it not then the duty of the functionary, the secretary, then the secretary to write a letter and formally refer it? Must we now reduce the speaker to do that and refer this thing to House? It has never done. It has never happened.
Let's just track down where the text is intended. Did he say, but is it here? Is it correct or incorrect here? Where we say that the text is intended? Yes, Stephanie?
Chairperson, I'd just like to refer members to section 18 of the Framework Act as it exists at present. In the Framework Act, it deals with exactly the same subject matter.
Yeah.
And there it deals with the secretary refers the bill, not the speaker. That's why we brought it in line with the Framework Act, the existing legislative regime.
So it does not lie here.
No. It should remain as it is.
It's the secretary. I disagree with that, but it is in the bill.
Yes.
We're not changing, but we're not changing it. It's in that bill. We're not.
It's not a bill, it's in the Act.
No, it's in the Act.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. That's block 11.
Yeah, clause 12 is agreed to. I don't know. It takes its chairperson that those other bills that were not referred to here have been already been approved unamended.
Now look at the before I answer, look at that clause. Which one? The one you're talking about, clause
12.
Yes, just look at the last
week. And to some use. To omit much and to substitute many.
What is the real word there?
Chairperson, if you look at clause 12 in the bill, if it is the minister much. With the approval of the House and subject to the laws governing the public service, second as much staff. And always saying that as much staff should read as many staff.
As many
staff. Yes, as the department, as you should require at all.
Right.
It makes more sense.
All right. Yeah. I was just saying, Chair, that it must be understood that, by the way, 13, 14, 15, 16 are still going to come back.
We can do that if you ask us.
No. That's why I want to say, as far as we are concerned, all those that were not referred to, it must be understood. They were agreed, unamended. That's what I'm placing on there. So that after reading clause 18, it must be clear that 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 is agreed to as originally without any amendment.
What is before a contested one?
Exactly.
And what is the others that are not here are not contested.
Indeed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lawyer. Yes.
Clause 18, Chair, as amended, agreed to. 19 as amended, agreed to Chair.
Then on 12, 13, I think as amended, yes, agreed to.
I like it, if I don't, I can leave.
Yes, that's the constitution.
personal relationship that might exist between the three spheres. No sphere can impose any decision on any one of the spheres. So that's why we use that language. Careful. We would prefer this to be the situation, but they may well say no. We don't want that. And that's their constitutional right. In other words, the constitution, the father, those of us who are there, and the mother, those of you who are there, realize the necessity to be done in that, that it must be by agreement rather than by institution that things are done in the relationship between the three spheres. So none of the spheres can impose and say you must.
So then capitalism means it brings us to that thing of yesterday of not having any uniformity in this thing.
Yes.
Because the others are going to do this, the others that, the others this, the others that.
No, with respect, Chair.
In a sense, what niche, there are certain things that can be done, the standard, norms and standards. That's the portrait of the national. So if what you're doing, even if it goes this way, this way, if it is not in line with the standard or with the norm, then it can't be done. So in that sense, you might find an important.
Okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
In fact, I wanted to also indicate clearly to the honorable members that we're dealing here with the National House.
Yes.
That is our competence. And then the Provincial House, this is the provincial legislatures that are going to do. But as far as we are concerned, we're saying yes, there may be that as you have said.
Yes.
So we must not be worried about the other.
No, we are not of his standards in this thing. We do not know these things. So how can we not ask them?
He's not questioning your right to ask them. Reminding us that.
The villages that compose that traditional house or what? As many.
Also,
just as many. Not at least as many, but not more than a thousand.
The reason here is that the chairperson and the deputy chairperson are elected democratically. They maybe come from one province, which is unlikely anyway, but it is possible. But what this clause says is that each province of the Republic of South Africa must be constituted, must be represented at that executive structure by additional members. It is not open-ended so that it could be 20. It is open-ended and restricted to the number of the provinces where there are traditional leaders. It cannot, therefore, exceed 9. That is why it is kept up.
As elected by the House. As many as elected by the House. No, before we go into insurance, it's unlimited because it is as may be elected by the House. And the House is restricted to elected from within the care.
I'm colored.
Okay, good. I'm happy. Okay, class 22.
The new class has great two.
A great two? Class 24?
Agreed to Chair, Amanda.
25?
Amanda, agreed to.
Long time.
Amanda, agreed to Chair.
the report of the committee, the National House of Traditional Leadership. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Traditional Leadership on the National House of Traditional Leadership. The Portfolio Committee on Traditional Leadership will consider the subject of the National House of Traditional Leadership. Referred to be classified by the Joint Tagging Mechanism by the Section 32, submit the bill with amendment. Yes, sir. We agree to the report?
Yes.
Okay, done. Thank you very much.
I am signed because my corporate is not sufficient.
But I'm here for the forum, no problem. leadership and government framework. Motion of
let's read you. That's the new, this is the new one. Okay.
Okay.
This is an updated version. Traditional leadership and governance framework. Members, just put aside the what you have before you. Here's a new one coming to you. Yes. Okay, take a 3-minute break. They are making copies. Now read the motion of desirability. Traditional leadership and governance framework. Local amendment bill. Local amendment bill. We don't have the local. Where does it come from? Framework amendment bill. Okay. Delete that local first amendment on the motion of desirability. Yeah. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to amend the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act 2003 so as to substitute a definition and insert a definition to provide for recognition of kingship and withdrawal of such recognition. Provide for the establishment and recognition of kinship councils, to provide for the establishment of sub-traditional councils, to further regulate the election of members of local houses of traditional leaders, to provide for regulatory powers, to provide anew for the transitional provisions relating to tribal authorities, community authorities and paramountcies, to provide for the disestablishment of paramountcies, to amend Remuneration of Public Office Bearers Act 1989, so as to make provision for the remuneration of non-traditional leader members of traditional councils and kinship councils, and to provide for matters connected herewith, and that the bill referred to the committee be taken as a basis.
I see a lot of amendments necessary there.
Yeah, for sure, sir.
Yes. In the motion of desirability. One of them is very dominant in the things we are going to do. Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah, the question of the kingship, queenship question issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else? What is the date? The Public Office Bearers Act, what year is that? 2003.
No,
1998, so it's not 89, it's 98, yeah. Guys, you must be more careful next time. We can't have this. In fact, these amendments we are making, if you had read the amendments themselves, you wouldn't have made these mistakes. No, this is sloppy work, guys. You mustn't allow yourself to fall into this bad habit. This is unacceptable. What other amendments you want to make then?
Hey, but there is verzachtende omstandighede.
Sorry? Wat is omstandighede?
Verzachtende omstandighede for the secretariat, because the question is, the long title, no queenships are mentioned in the long title, so the secretariat used that. So that's also now a question about the long title, because that motion must follow the long title. Are we going to change the long title also? But it's not in the papers that the department gave us.
The one we just given you?
Oh, the new one you just gave us?
On the last page.
On the last page? Yes. It should have been in the beginning. That's a mistake. Preamble is in the beginning, not in the...
No.
The long title.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Are you going to withdraw now?
No.
What you said earlier?
I said it's for certain omstandighede further because they just changed
no,
it.
No,
put
no,
it
no.
on the last page.
I don't accept your mitigation.
Yeah, mitigation.
I'm trying to interpret for them. They don't hear what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming up for them.
You've got allies. It's very useful. Good allies. Okay. Any other amendment to that? In the motion of desirability. So, okay, we are done with those amendments. Kinship, queenship, you delete a local at the top there. You insert 98 instead of 89. Okay. That's fine. So, this is accepted. Okay. Good. The motion of desirability having been accepted, we go into the bill. For the same reasons, caucus. You're waiting for the line from Moscow. Yes. Okay, clause one. There.
No, I think as amended we agreed to.
Plus two.
Similarly, as amended we agreed to.
Yeah.
Then, because of. On the.
This one's there.
On plus three. Yes.
Which number?
2A.
No, what's that?
No, there's not 2A there.
Yes.
Possibly just a short explanation
yes.
regarding proposed amendments on clause 3.
Yes.
On page 2 of the proposed amendments, the second paragraph, point number 2,
yeah.
which reads on page 3 in line 4 to omit A and to substitute.
Yeah.
If I possibly can refer members to the actual bill as introduced,
yes.
clause 2A.
Yes.
Clause 2A reads, a number of additional communities that are grouped together may be recognized as a kinship if they, in all the criteria set out.
Yeah, the one that the House was,
correct.
The Commission was questioning.
Correct. In order to accommodate, as far as we could, the concerns raised by the Commission.
Yes.
Once we refer them to subsection 2, or subsection 2 of Clause 2A, they said, but that should be emphasized. That's the impression we get. So what we're proposing is to say in 2A, before, right in the beginning, to say subject to subsection 2, a number of traditional communities that are grouped together may be recognized. So we're emphasizing the importance of subsection 2.
Okay.
That's what we're doing in
okay,
point number
on
two.
Yeah.
Yes,
all
point
right.
number two.
To deal with their complaint.
As far as we could, yes, to accommodate
okay.
their concern.
Okay. In other words, you're saying that will help clarify that it is not the satisfaction of any one of those,
yes, no.
but that it must rest with what you are saying today.
Subsection two.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. We hope it achieves that. Okay. That's good to know that that's what you're doing there.
Right.
Okay.
This is general issues, except for point number five.
Mm-hmm.
I think the committee will recall that we agreed in
sub-A1
paragraph E. Delete those words recognized by the community.
That's moved by Mpumalanga, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The rest of gender issues.
All right. Good. Any other comment? Cross 4. Babungos. Minanga to Fanu, which is going to be a book. I'm not suggesting that I'm the only red in the house. oh, Jim, yeah. Oh, funny, yes. Yes, yes, yeah, and what's up? Okay, cross five. Yes, yeah.
So I just think, again, I should draw attention on page 4 of the proposed amendment.
Yeah.
Version, paragraph 4.
Yes.
We're replacing in the existing 3A as introduced.
Yeah.
Subparagraph or subsection 2. It's the remember the issue that raised around the 30 members, the restriction
yeah.
of the 30 members.
Yeah.
To try and accommodate the concerns raised there. We say a kingship or queenship council consists of the number of members as determined by the minister by formula published in the notice in the Gazette.
Yeah.
So it won't be restricted to 30.
Okay.
Each province will be used, a formula will be used to determine
yeah.
those number of members.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's
okay.
No. Yeah. Yeah. We're here.
Yes.
We have been saying that the regulations, for instance, should be after consultation and also taken before. The only thing that I wanted to find out, what this formula, how is the minister going to determine it? Allow, without any further consultation with anybody? That
I think we can bring in consultation with the affected kingships and kings. Queenships or kingships, obviously.
And Prof, I did share through you, assign Professor Sobate to find a gender sensitive word for this queenship, kingship issue. So that is the one word that we will both be comfortable. But so far, still mulling over.
I do accept your unmandated but progressive proposal.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Yes, Nat.
Chairperson, we did indeed did what you asked us to do. We really tried to get a gender neutral word. And we went to the Oxford Dictionary, and in the Oxford Dictionary, kingdom is a gender-neutral word. They say it's led by a king or a queen. So the word kingdom may be a gender-neutral word. So
but it sounds to me like those who say that men, because it comes from the Bible, it is gender-sensitive.
And
it's
led by a king.
Yeah, no, but the point I'm making is men who are saying that. You know what I'm saying? It's men who are saying that, yeah. That kingdom is gender neutral. King. So you might as well have said queendom. We are tripping ourselves here. So yes. Yeah. No, I know you. No, you see the remarks they are making. They are made. It arises from this discomfort. They don't like things changing, especially if it now means what they've taken for granted, which is nice, should not change. These men are uncomfortable with that. I really applaud you for this progressive agenda that you are having, despite the discomfort it causes your commoner here and his ally across the table. I think it's an important task. Let us request it as a and say when we speak about this thing, and say that we think that it should be an issue that we get debated on. We can't ourselves here exhaust the possibility of finding an appropriate language to express what we want to say. So those affected and others, in one way or another, must be asked to contribute towards that, so that in the forthcoming policy review processes and so on, we can find an appropriate word for that. I doubt whether we'll be able to find one so quickly and so on. In the meantime, we will use this apparently clumsy way of kinship and so on. So we must in advance anticipate the attack of being clumsy and say, yes, we know. And we invite you to help us find an appropriate way to find a better monarch. And then he will want to persuade you that's also gender neutral. Okay. Of course, yes. Of course, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes.
Sorry, even the way we use kingship or queenship, shouldn't it be king? Because if it's a kingship or queenship, you are deciding it's either a kingship or a queenship.
Yeah.
But you might get situation like in the first stage at present, where you have a king or a queen. Should it be a kingship and or kingship and / or queenship?
Yeah. Best nothing. In legislation.
No. But in situations where you have either both, like we have in the first stage, king and a queen, because if you say kingship or queenship, it's either one or the other. It's never two of them.
Yes,
but in a king, so there's only one king or one queen. They couldn't be a king and a queen at the same time. So it's either a king or a queen. Simple as that.
It's right, but I think I've contemplated here. But the point we need to make is that in any situation where there is a king, there is a queen. That's for sure. And then we're progressively indicating that a queen must have a forum of her own within the kingdom, but it is not. If I'm a king, my wife is a queen.
No.
It's exactly like that. It's exactly like that.
I'm not.
Order.
I'm not referring to a queen as a wife of a king, but I'm referring to a traditional leader in a level of a queenship, the highest level within the institution, within the structure of the traditional leadership, a queen in her own right as a traditional leader, not as a wife of a king.
Yes. Okay. In that sense, yes. Yes.
That is a phrase. The wife of a king is a phrase. Now, what is a one word to the wife of a king? It's a phrase. What is she called?
The queen.
The queen. I adopt what my husband is.
unless we are changing the constitution of this country.
I think the point that has been made by the lady over there and the official from the department correctly clarified is that as contemplated in the legislation before us, we have got now the Queen or King's Council. We cannot have a Queen and a King's Council in one area. That's clear. And then I think the clarity that was thought by my sister there is that, yes, it is permissible as crafted like this. And because she would prefer that queenship talk or. And that is a clumsy way of dealing with any form of legislation. I think we agree with the officials. The phrase as it is there, it captures your concern. In Free State, for instance, Mam Bedi is a queen, they've got a world has a queen council of her own, there'll be no problem. And it is actually permissible in terms of this. There'll be no problem. Like Queen Mujaji, for instance, also.
You see, except that you, both of you are talking about the Free State. You see, I'm talking about the Free State. I didn't know Free State today. In other words, you haven't listened to the Trapo Commission and its determination.
Yeah. No.
Have you listened?
Yeah.
And you still could insist on agreeing what both of you, yes.
No. I know that the queen, the king there is in Lesotho.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
And I agree.
Yes.
And but for what is worth,
yeah.
Because you are raising something.
No. No, I was being let I'm happy that you now know. You're pointing out that you are aware of that situation in the Free State.
Yeah.
But the point I want to make, for the objectives for which this language is used in the bill,
yeah.
Is she correct in arguing that the way we have phrased it creates problems? And you are saying no, it doesn't.
Yeah,
that it doesn't. Okay. This is a. You see, what we are trying. What we are. What you, the. No. You see, a friend of mine was asking why he's quiet when, or rather, why he was so excited when the wife was being congratulated for acquiring her degree. She says, of course, he's married in a community of property. Hers is mine. So he was politely told, chief, go and study. I want us to flag that issue she has raised. We'll come back to it. We will proceed. Yes, ma'am. And then I'll ask you to come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think the way it is,
yes.
That's the correct way.
Yes.
And when we talk of England, we say kingdom. It's true. Queen Elizabeth inherited from the king. That was not a queen land. It was a king land there, a kingdom from her father. Yes. So we cannot really stick to kingdomship.
You see, ma.
I think here
ma,
it's.
I hear the point you are making, and I think what is being suggested here is that there are, for example, the reality is that in other places, Utegam Church. Traditionally, there it's the queen.
Yeah.
So, what do you call that? You call it queendom? You still call it kingdom? In that instance?
No.
Where traditionally it's a
originally,
woman.
Originally.
Yes.
Originally, there
yes.
was never a
yeah.
lady.
Yes.
There was never a king.
Yes. So what do you call that?
That's, I'm agreeing with you.
It's not a kingdom.
Yeah. It's what is it?
The kingship.
Chairperson, Mujaji is at the level of senior traditional leadership.
Sorry?
It's a traditional community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senior traditional leader.
Yes. So
okay.
Entity is a traditional community.
Yeah, okay. By the way, kingdom. Yes, we will. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we will.
Yes.
Now, Jefferson, can it be explained in this gathering?
Yes.
Where a king has got 5 wives, are they all called queens?
Yeah. Oh. If the queen mother. There are queens, and then there's the queen mother. Yes. Yes. The queen bee. My man, despite the out here, you wanted to say something, and then we proceed.
I was trying to get to understand the question posed by the lady, because I want to know if I'm correct when you said that, when she mentioned that, where in the case where the king and the queen are in the same area, and then she wants to be accommodated to say and or. Okay. And I thought that I'm covered by that, the explanation by the department, because we cannot legislate say by saying and or. In a situation, if that is happening, that is, they both, or automatically changes to an end, if that is the case. Though I know it is sort of a unique situation where the king and the queen are ruling in the same area. So,
okay, we are done.
Why do you switch on your mic, Domin? Well, I'm checking. You can't.
Chair, because I interrupt you.
You know, there's
you
a good. Listen, Domin, there's a good expression in Zulu. It says, don't brush my teeth whilst I'm eating. This is what you are doing. Why are you doing that?
Because you move on so fast, I must interrupt.
I have hardly moved. I was about to introduce the next step.
But I don't want you to introduce a new step. I'm back at this, the formulation. I just want to hear the consultation of the minister.
Yes.
So how does it change now? How is it going to read now? Thank you very much.
We are now on to clause 6. Yeah? Yes. Clause 5 is accepted with the amendment as proposed. Sorry, Chair. Yes. We accept the formulation. I just wanted so that the department can flag this thing, because during the public hearing, it was brought to our attention that, in fact, in traditional council areas where there is this restriction of 30, it's called a problem. My question is, have you formulated the same formula for traditional council?
No. Not at this stage.
Will it be bad if you do it? If also in that framework, Act on Traditional Council, you have, instead of a minister here, maybe a premier or whatever in the province,
Chairperson, yes. You know, the only problem is you can't say after consultation with each community. I mean, there are more than 800. So it will, from an administrative point of view, will be difficult to use exactly the same drafting there.
You can say which houses you choose to do. Which provincial house, premier, Kotati house. That's it.
Or you mean the consequential way this is done with the minister. The same as applying with the premier. Where the premier must contact, must give that from that the formula of
But if we leave it to the premiers, you might find that in different provinces you have completely different systems applying.
Yes.
And ensure to inform, to ensure uniformity.
Well, the question is posed,
yes,
about whether the state is appropriate. If we say that it is different because of the situation in each area, if you accept the legitimacy of a different formula by the minister, why not elsewhere?
Chairperson, can I, from what happened within provinces, except KZN, where they have decided all councils will have 30 members, other provinces did, the department prepared a guideline document, one which was set based on the population figures of that community. There were different numbers of, you had different numbers of the council. The other one was based on the customary law, speaking to the number of headmanships within or wards within the council. So that, if the customary one, if you had 12 wards or 18 wards, that would determine the number of the council and the elected members. So this is what other provinces did. For instance, Northwest, Free State, they used that customary system to do it. And in Limpopo, they've used the population figures. And I think they've got four categories.
So
15, 20. There is a way in which they deal with that.
A flexible,
yes, based on based on the guideline document the department prepared for them.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks
to hear that. But what I know, Chair,
yes,
after we publicized, we approved this legislation,
yes,
and the provincial legislation,
yes,
was crafted with the involvement of the department,
yes,
and actually basing themselves on the Framework Act that we've approved.
Yes.
That is how the state, as I say, it is there in the legislation in the Eastern Cape, it is there,
yes,
as we speak, because they've almost cut and pasted it away from what we have done. That is why even in KwaZulu, it has created a problem. It is therefore in the light of that that I say the Framework Act, because in the Framework Act we did provide for date. We did. And I'm saying therefore that in the light of this flexibility, after the can't we then have that consequential amendment so that at least it is legitimate? Because that, what is there, although it is permissible in terms of the Act, because it's a concurrent to the system, but it is clumsy, you know. That is why I was saying that.
What's your response to that, Derek? I mean, like, you have a proposal. Why should we apply?
Chairperson, I think in practice, actually, it works already in terms of the two options that the department guided the provinces with. Maybe we can find a way to put it in legislation, to put maybe the two options or something like that. So that is what happened. You say it's based on a customary way, and the other one based on population figures.
Let me put it this way. What I was proposing, we agreed with this thing of kinship. It is right formulation. Okay. All I was saying that is, as regards the traditional councils now, some of which they have got areas outside because of the deity restriction, can we have a similar formulation? Say the premier, after consultation with the house, determine a formula. That is simple. So that will be no problem.
All right. Agreed, we'll do that.
welcome, Dr. Mashinde. By the way, this is you are an alternate in this committee, and we expect you to attend this meeting as a priority. This is the committee's decision, not mine. We are very jealous of all the members of this committee, alternate or not. So we must prioritize them. We welcome you. This is just a way of welcome. And in my meeting, we don't respond to nice welcome. We will say that after the meeting.
Behind, but it's no big deal. There was that issue of the kingship, queenship council, and then their relationship with the local houses. Did you put it in? Okay, but if you put it in, it's fine.
That's a new block,
yeah? Just on page 7 and point number 12. Here it is.
Page 7. Okay. You see that it provides for the same thing you're talking about, that you just said, for the relationship between kingship and the Lord. I'm sorry, I'm waiting now. Yeah, okay. You see that, both here, one of the delegates. You were asking what are the provisions for
yeah.
I'm pointing attention to what they pointed out. This new clause just names it provides for that relationship.
Yeah.
In a number of ways, That's all I was pointing out. Now, you can now safely go to clause 7.
Change all the new clause.
Yeah.
I just have a question. Why do they distinguish between district and local municipalities? I don't know what stands in the original. This is now a completely new clause, so I don't know what stands in Section 5 of the Principal Act. But it would seem to me that you would just say enter into agreements with municipalities. Now, 5.1 on page 9 deals with district municipality, and exactly the same words in 5.2 with local municipalities. And then in 4, it says what I actually would have liked, a delivery agreement with a municipality. So this, my first question is, why do they make this distinction? Why is this necessary? Secondly, does this imply that there can't be an agreement with a metro municipality?
Chairman, just on the last issue, paragraph 4, which says the service delivery agreement with a municipality in accordance with the Local Government Systems Act. In the Systems Act, the municipality includes all three. Yes, so it's open as far as paragraph 4 is concerned. There's no argument about it. The other two, yes, it can probably, 5.1 and 2 could probably be combined. There's say national government and provincial government must promote partnerships between districts or between municipalities, for that matter. Well, you're asking that, all right?
Yeah. Well, maybe one refers to the partnerships between kingship councils or queenship councils and the district municipalities, because we envisage a situation where, you know, there has to be that relationship at a district level with the kingship or queenship councils. But sub two refers now to traditional councils having relationships, partnerships with local municipalities.
Local municipalities and
traditional councils. Yeah.
The other one is with
the higher level. Yes. That's the distinction.
But I understand why.
I realize what is happening. We've been going at it for some time.
Yeah?
We've been going at it for some time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what. Now, this issue of the composition of the King's Council, remember there was those issue of members serving in the council that were contemplated to be excluded, as well as the provincial house, as well as members of parliament, which was contentious during this thing, and then we decided to mull over it. What is the latest version on that?
Chairperson, I think the honourable member refers to the exclusion of people who are full-time members of houses and a municipal council.
Yeah.
No, I think as far as I can remember, we did not amend anything there.
We took out full-time. I think for the municipal council.
For any municipal council is excluded.
Yeah. Members who are full-time in a municipal council. So we took out that full-time, because there was full-time in the current bill. So the amendment was just to take out full-time. I think that was...
So any member of the council?
Yes.
Maybe just to explain. To explain is people who take part in the municipal council in terms of Section 81 are not excluded. That's what it means by taking out the full time. Because our understanding is that if you partake in terms of Section 81, you are not a member of the council in that sense. So everybody taking part in terms of Section 81 are not excluded to be members of the Kingship Council.
And then those that are serving in the local house of traditional leaders and provincial houses of traditional leaders,
only the full-time members are excluded, not the members, but full-time members. If it's a full-time member of the local house, for instance, the chairperson.
Clearly, by extension, it means therefore that if you are a member of provincial legislature, you are full-time, and member of parliament, you are excluded because you are full-time. That is the rationale behind that. Which we felt we need really to think deeply about it, but in principle, but, just now.
On the same page 5-4. In 5, we are talking about partnerships. And I think it comes back that there are organized communities that may not be defined as, what is that concept now, traditional communities. Now, it seems as if now that this relationship is in fact tampering with their rights, I would say. In the sense that local government and traditional councils are making relationship, leaving out organized communities. Don't we foresee a conflict in communities, organized communities, that are not defined as traditional communities? I'm being Sango now.
Chairperson, just off the bat here, is that we're dealing here with traditional issues, not with anything else, not with municipal councils, not with informal Sango issues. And I'm not sure that we could legislate on that individual legislation. It's just off the bat.
Secondly, I think for the chairperson during the hearing that was hinted that there are, you know, these things are evolving. I think this was touched upon by, I think, Koso Oromisa, when we said we will need to think about that. But there are these, my colleague said, we're dealing here now with traditional communities. But now there are these communities that are coming up, some in the Western Cape that have not been defined as traditional communities, but we need to think about that.
I'm catching myself. I must address you formally. And we must have an internal Sango debate here. No, I thought that there are two things. What the Prof is referring to is a slightly different point where we're talking about the traditional leadership themselves and their systems of interaction with communities they lead. Okay? And this is what he was referring to, what Contralor Lesser was talking about in their presentation, in discussion rather, that must find a way of being expressed. We said it must be one of those that are flagged for continued work to be done. But in the context of these relationships that is being described here by local traditional councils, in what way would you find it appropriate to express that relationship? Yebo, I even said Honorable Sondo.
I'm posing a challenge without a solution, I must say.
Okay.
But I foresee, having been approached by traditional leaders in the past 2 weeks in Cape Town who are contemplating to form a traditional council, I foresee that conflict coming up in urban areas in particular. So it's something that should be provided for. We might not have a solution now, but later on it's something that needs to be looked at and be corrected, because really you will get a situation where traditional councils will be talking with local municipalities about service delivery issues without having consulted the recipients of those services, and therefore the conflict is possibly in such situations.
This is a challenge that we pose to the system itself. In fact, if you remember, Honorable Holomis was suggesting that therefore we must pump in more money into their resources to be able to conduct those consultations, including in the diaspora, Cape Town. This is what he said. those of you, despite being miles away from villages and cow dung, you still want the authority of Mkosi to reach you. Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I just say something?
Yes.
When we say in the townships,
yes,
we're talking of traditional leaders in the townships, I'm just getting lost, because in the Systems Act of the municipalities,
yes,
home,
yeah.
not here.
Yeah.
Where we've got traditional leaders,
yeah.
they are part and parcel of the
council.
Therefore, we cannot, people who are thinking, in other words, we are going to create extra kings and chiefs and whatever, if we bring them into the township. Because here we are migrants. And you cannot migrate and go and rule.
Okay. Colleague, I think on this one, this is a matter which agreed. In fact, it's
yeah.
part of those new policy things.
Yeah.
We're not going to really consolidate this stage.
Yeah.
We need further consultation on that.
Yeah.
And it was on the issue that I had raised. But I just want so that we can pass, because we're smiled over it.
Yeah.
The difficulty that I'm having in my head is the Nkosi Kumete clause in the white paper, which found its way in the Framework Act, that if you are elected in the legislature or parliament, you're still a traditional leader, but you are entitled to have a deputy, which means, therefore, that you still have that responsibility. Now, to de-link and that responsibility of a traditional leader who is a member of provincial legislature or member of parliament, are we sure that are we not going to, how can I put it, disempower that kingdom? If a king would like, even that traditional leader, to actually have some input on the, with that king, if we include in the legislation, in view of the white paper that is that permissible that thing. I know, in principle, I agree. We need to de-link the issue from politics. I agree as a matter of principle. That is why I said much more over it, but at least take into consideration the transition in which we are in. That's one thing. So that I don't, the other one, I'm worried about your word must. When you deal with the provincial issue, must here at the national level have no problem. Precisely because of this concurrent power, we can't impose for province. We've been using May. On page 7, for instance, you say provincialization must provide for a relationship.
No, the national government and all provincial governments must promote partnerships.
No, I have not.
Sorry?
Oh, yeah.
That's why it says both national government and provincial government must promote partnerships.
Yes.
Yeah. So you are saying you are objecting to that.
That one you'll appreciate when I'm raising this one. The one on page 7 of this draft.
Page 7?
Of the draft. I meant the proposed draft to the National Framework. Page 7.
Under
12.
Must provide for a relationship.
Yeah. Must provide. In other words, we're now directing provinces to do. I know that to me that must it sounds as if we're imposing. You see, it may have the undesirable consequences.
Yes.
It was just that I need to bring the attention.
Yeah.
To
there's agreement. Generally, that's the language we don't use. Yes. There's agreement about that. That's the second thing that I want to do. Okay.
On these issues, I must also, because I'm a traditional leader, I must explain, because I may be easily misunderstood.
By the way, you must remember that we
Okay.
You exceed your boundaries when you do that. Okay. Clause 7. He's got divided loyalties, this fellow, beside it, yeah.
And except that word on page 9, that never come in all cultural mass promote partnership, the one to do that, but I think in the context, if you feel that it's comfortable, it's fine, because I don't think that's a problem on the whole question of promotion.
A problem, okay. Yeah.
So, with that, we are free.
Yes.
And then the next one is also not upset.
Clause 7, yes. New clause.
Question of controversial amendment.
Clause 8, yeah.
Question of the same party, and that's where I learned in the second half.
New clause.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm funny.
Page 10, sorry, that new clause.
Yeah.
It's a very what? On page 10, too.
Yeah, yeah. That new clause at the top. Yeah.
We're proposing amendment to section 9. Of the Framework Act. It hasn't been before the committee yet. And the reason we're doing that is, I'd just like to explain that in Section 9 of the Framework Act deals with the recognition of kings and queens.
Yes.
And it inter alia, when the president recognizes, must, one of the criteria that must be complied with is whether a recognized kingship exists. That, and it says our criteria, three criteria, that kingship must comply with. Now that we've inserted a new section 2A that comprehensively deals with the recognition of kingships and queenships, we propose that that paragraph be deleted and then be replaced by, just to say whether, the criteria will be whether a kingship or queenship has been recognized in terms of section 2A. That would be the criteria. Just a consequence of the amendment. Yes.
Now, what you say, what's written?
No, agreed. We agree.
Which one must be accepted?
No.
What
this will have to know what I say. This will have to be redrafted, Chair. And
yes, okay.
Unfortunately,
yeah. Whether a kinship or kinship has been recognized.
All right. What will happen is, can I just explain to you?
Yes.
Then it's a section 9 of the Principle Act that hereby amended by the substitution.
In section
1. In subsection 1B2, for the following subparagraph, full stop. Then it will be Roman 2, whether a kingship or queenship insert has been recognized in terms of section 2A, full stop.
Have you got that?
I will do technical, we'll deal with it.
The original clause talks about the alignment with local government.
Yeah.
And last week, I think the agreement was to say that all the other structures of traditional leadership must align their term of office to the term of office of the National House. So that is a consequential amendment that we had to do now in Clause 8, to say that the term of office of traditional council is aligned to the term of office of the National House.
So that's the underlying.
Chairperson, at the bottom of page 10, that new clause is again it's amendment of section 26 of the Framework Act. It hasn't been before the committee. And again, it's a consequential amendment that was brought to our attention when the Commission addressed the committee yesterday. 26 deals with the decisions of the Commission. And it, in principle, says that once the decision of the Commission has been conveyed to the President, the President must, convey to the President for immediate implementation in accordance with Section 9 or 10, where the position of a king or queen is affected. Now that we've created the kingship in Section 2A, we have to provide for the recognition or non-recognition of a kingship in terms of Section 2A. So it's just a consequential amendment to cater for the recognition or withdrawal of the recognition of a kingship in section in terms of Section 2A.
It sounds fair. It is sound. So we can agree with all.
This is another one which is with the submissions of the Commission of Constitution. Okay. Okay.
I think it's called special amendment, Chair, but great to
12, 14, 15, 16, and 17.
All of them are consequential, Chair. Agreed.
Okay. The report. Report of the portfolio committee on the provincial and local government on the traditional leadership and government framework amendment bill. Dated
August 2008. The Portfolio Committee on Provincial and Local Government, having considered the subject of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Amendment Bill, referred to it and classified by the Joint Tagging Mechanism as the 1676 Bill, submits the bill with amendments. Agreed?
Yes, sir.
Agreed. Agreed to. Thank you very much.
That's a blue part.
The report before the committee handles it. I don't know which one is that one. Eh? Okay. Honorable members, thank you very much. I think we've done this. Sorry? Okay. Lunch is going to be served at 12:30. I don't know what time it is now. So, members, having dealt with these two bills, there are issues that we said in the process of discussions here. They belong to the ongoing process that needs to be going on anyway to be dealt with. Some of them because they're contentious, some of them because we haven't reached agreement, some of them because they will emerge as further consultation and implementation of this legislation will be dealt with. So we've done what we've done to date on the basis of the submissions we get. I do want to record my disappointment that we didn't get submissions beyond the National House of Traditional Leaders, except for the Tlaek Foundation. I mean, as an outside other than the House of Traditional Leaders and so on. And I met Salga, who said to me, no, they are happy with this one. They have no complaints about it. This is why they did not make submissions and so on. But I would imagine that there are other, including Sanko, as Honorable Sonto here is suggesting, could have inputted into this process. So we expect that when the NCOP handles this this bill, that all of us members in our constituencies, we will mobilize as many stakeholders as possible who may be affected by the legislation to ensure that we get submissions and so that this matter is really dealt with as effectively as possible. This is part of the overall work of Parliament and government to transform and provide for the institution of traditional leaders so that it plays its developmental role in our society. Thank you very much, members. Thank you, the department. Thank you, the presidency, the state law advisors, for having provided us with support and your presence during these deliberations. Thank you very much. You are invited for lunch and have fun.